So I thank you all for joining us for the annual Yard Sale that I give Lili Nishmas, my father, Yosef Nisim and Yecheskel. This is the 17th year that we miss him already. And my Aunt Berta, Bluma Sheva by Sechesel, died a month before him. And now my mother is also Nebuch bin Nefteris already for 7 years. So I say this year, Lili, all of their holy Nishamas. So a number of things I want to point out before we start this year. I attribute everything that I am able to give a share to both my parents. They sacrificed so much. They both went through such hardships. For me to be able to give the share is, totally to their credit. So that's number one. I always also remember now Tuvia Lefkowitz. Tuvia, Oliver Shalom, was a regular at this, the Artside share. He used to email me right after the share. He always would email me his notes. So I miss that very much. Much more I miss him. And we remember him very, very fondly. He's a Shabbos Shavit Ali from the learning as well. And it is especially a great pleasure for me to have some of my father's great-grandchildren here listening to the shir. And we have a Yosef Nissan over here as well. And one of the children named after my father, Oliver Shalom. So it's really a special honor and a treat for me to be able to say the shir in their presence as well. We thank the shul, obviously, for always hosting this. We thank the OU and the National Council of Young Israel and Masifta Teres Yaakov for co-sponsoring the shir. And I thank everybody for attending. That's most important. So, Margie had mentioned to me a very interesting thing. I just happened to have said this over, but it's kedai to repeat. This is the only thing I'll repeat. And that is that Margie noted that she saw in various organizations that there were 120 ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, that Iran, Yamach Shimon V'Zichron, shot at Israel. And Rabbi Trump had noted on Thursday night that there were 120 community Tehillim that we had here in the five towns. I'm not making any connections there other than to say that we absolutely believe, we are absolutely confident that our Tehillim, our learning, should be a wonderful Yeshua and Shmira for all of Klal Yisrael, for the holy Chayalim, for all the safety of all the people that are in Eretz Yisrael that are literally under attack. My children, grandchildren slept in their mamad room last night. They woke them up and had to bring them there in the middle of the night. And it's very, very important for us to realize that they are under constant attack. We are under attack too, but not in the same way. It's very important for us to understand that our learning and our davening is a shmira for them. Be'ezus Hashem should be a total shmira for them. Okay. So let's begin. I know everybody remembers exactly where we left off last year. So I'll remind you if you don't remember. And that is, we'll go through a little bit of the Haggadah. For those that want to look along in the Haggadah, it's a little bit after V'hisha Amda and after Arami Oved Avi. So V'nitzak El Hashem, which is such an appropriate subject for us to be talking about, that we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we're doing, the community Tehillim. That's what each of us does. I'm sure in every shul we say Tehillim right after the davenings. We say it here in the shul after every Shachris, Mincha, and Marv, in addition to other times. So it's so important that we have these community Tehillim and this crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So V'nitzak, all of Klal Yisrael, cried out to Hashem, Elokei Avoseinu, and it says, V'yishma Hashem es koleinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu heard our voices crying out. V'yaris onyenu, he saw our onyenu, affliction, literally translated. We'll spend a lot of time talking about what that means. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu see? V'yesam oleinu, v'yeslachatzenu. Seemingly similar words, so we have to understand. If the Baal HaGadah put these words in there, they're teaching us a very, very important lesson. So the onyenu, the affliction, amaleinu, a hard work, lachatzenu, the pressure, that's how you translate them in English, but each of them means different ideas, and some of them are very, very practical and important for today, the matzav that we find ourselves in. So then the Haggadah goes, and it darshens each of those in more detail, and it tells us, what does it mean? How do we know that v'nitzak el Hashem elokei avoseinu? So it says, based upon the pasuk, v'hi bayomim harabim ohem v'yomos melech Mitzrayim. It was after many days that the king of Egypt died. And then, v'yeonchu b'nei Yisrael min ha'avoda, then we sighed from the hard work, v'yizaku, we cried out again to Hashem, v'tal shavosom el elokim min ha'avoda. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally recognized our suffering and he gave us salvation. And we'll now spend a little bit of time discussing this, but we'll go a little bit further. We darshan each of these words. The Haggadah is a beautiful thing. I have such fond memories of the Haggadah. I've mentioned this every year. In my house, I hope that everybody has fond memories of their seders in their houses, because it's very important. And the purpose of the Haggadah is that the children should be transmitted on Masorah. And my parents, Baruch Hashem, very successfully transmitted it to us. I hope we're successful in transmitting it to our children, to our grandchildren, and Mirtz Hashem, to many, many Doros. And that we all should have that goal, that the Seder should be very enjoyable, it should be filled with Torah. The meal isn't the ikker. The Torah is the ikra, but you can also say Torah at the meal. Rav Shechter Shlita, speaking with Rav Shai, and he was telling me he hanhagos of his father at the Seder. So they wouldn't have won the award for the latest Seder, but Rav Shechter would stay up all night and learn the Gemara in Pesachim after the Seder. So that's a different type of an atmosphere. So again, there are certain halachos of the Seder that one should adhere to, but certainly the message at the Seder, the Iker message, should be transmitting the Mesorah, telling over Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, what went on, and telling interesting stories both from the Medrashim, from the Chazal, from the Poskim, but also if there are people at the table, there's so few left that went through the Shoah or went through various sorrows, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved them. So that should be part of your personal family's Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that's very, very important to tell over the story so that our children, our grandchildren should know what our parents, their parents, what people went through to be able to make a Seder, a beautiful Seder here. Okay, so let's look at some of these in more detail. So, the Mefarshim talk about what exactly does it mean that we cried out to Hashem? What exactly is that? So, the post can bring down over here that we previously said that we cried out in pain. Some of the earlier parts of that God that said we were in pain and suffering, so we cried out. So the crying out over here has to be a different idea. It's not they cried out because they were being afflicted, they cried out because they were pain, because we already said that. So here the crying out is something else. And the Perish on the Haggadah, known as the Zevach HaPesach, he brings down a very interesting idea. He says that we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzo'aka here was pure tefillah. And this is such an important message for us. Yes, we're all under tremendous stress. We're under the matzav that we're in. The Mitzrayim were in a worse matzav. As bad as all matzav is, the Mitzrayim was a far worse matzav. You know, we've lived, Baruch Hashem, much better lives than they lived in Mitzrayim. In the, according to some, 117 years of actual Shibud, differing numbers are given. Some suggest that from the time that Levi passed away. So that was the, Levi was the last of the Shvatim. So his death marked 117 years of actual Shibud. And in one of the commentaries, the Per Aaron, which I always love to quote from that Haggadah, the Beis Avraham Beis Aaron, which is written by Rav Avraham Aaron Friedman, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, Hashem Yim Kom Domam, who died in the Warsaw Ghetto, and he buried his Haggadah with 13 Perushim, which he did all by heart, and they were able to find it after the Shoah, and it's been published. It's a beautiful Haggadah. He has 13 different commentaries. The one I always like to quote from, and it gets a four spice for people to enjoy the Haggadah, is Gematrias. You know, Rav Shechter is not so keen on Gematrias as part of the transmission, but they're a good four spice. And that's what Pirkei Avos says. They're Paparis Latorah, so it makes you want to learn more when you hear a good Gematria. So it turns out that the Gematria of Hadachak, the pressure, which we have later in the Haggadah, so that's 117. So that implies that the actual years of servitude, of harsh servitude, was 117 years. In any event, Zevach HaPesach tells us that we have to cry out to Hashem alst pure tefillah. It shouldn't be that we only cry out when we're suffering. Right? I always mention this. When a person's in the ICU, so everybody's saying Tehillim in the ICU. Right? All the family members, they're gathering outside. When somebody loses a job, somebody has a tzar in the field, Tehillim, right? We gathered for community Tehillim. Why didn't we gather for community Tehillim on October 5th? That's just not the way we think. That's not the way we work. So it tells us when they finally realize that Hashem is the only answer, and that we daven to Hashem because He runs the world. Whether it's good or it's bad, we should be davening to Hashem. There should be community Tehillim in times of wonderful times, not only in the bad times. And that's something that we don't realize. So he says, Zevach HaPesach says, that's what they did. They cried out before from the affliction, and now they're crying out to Hashem from pure tefillah. And that's something that's so important that we have to understand, that we daven to Hashem not only because I want this, I want that, and You know, if I daven to Hashem, I'll get it. We should daven to Hashem because He's the creator of the world, and He said that we have to daven to Him. So that's what they daven. V'nizak el Hashem. This is different. It's zak el Hashem. This is different than the previous where they cried out to Hashem because of all the pain and suffering that they had. In addition, they bring down Ikar ma shebo ba'al hagadah lochiach. What the purpose of the Haggadah is trying to teach us over here is that we have to only cry out to Hashem. We sometimes cry out to all other people to save us. And we see, we have to do ishtadlus. I always say this. Nobody should misunderstand what I'm saying is that we shouldn't do ishtadlus. But if we really think that the outcome of this upcoming election in America is going to make one iota of a difference in Shemayim, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plans is, that's what's going to happen. We have to do ishtadlus. If we think this candidate's better, if we think that candidate's better, we have to write letters, we have to show up for rallies, 1,000%. But if we don't for a second realize that only it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we'll be in the shape that we're Mitzrayim. They're constantly afflicted. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, you're relying on all these other people to get you out of trouble, so I'll stay on the side. So that's what the Mefarshim tell us over here. Kidei l'lame cha'osa tztaka yoderech tefillah l'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just for the sake of davening. Very interesting idea. Then it tells us this idea of Yomim Rabim. What is the Yomim Rabim? So again, tells us, I think, something that most of us, unfortunately, realize only too well. I don't know about you, last night was a very long night. I couldn't sleep. I normally sleep like a baby. I couldn't sleep. I got up early, went out to learn, do something. I couldn't sleep. Because my mind was on what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. I have grandchildren there. I don't know what's happening to them. They're in a mamad room crying. I don't know what's going on. You hear hundreds and hundreds of ballistic missiles and all sorts of missiles going on. It was a very long night. That's the Yomim Rabim. That's what they went through every day. The persecution. You know, when time flies when you're having a good time. When you're not having a good time. The same as that 24-hour period of time. It was Yomim Rabim. They were going through literally hell. And it was very difficult for them. And therefore, every second, it was like pulling teeth. That's the idea over here, that the Tsar made it, that it was Yomim Rabim. It was the same amount of time, same 24 hours in a day. Remember, they didn't have, okay, at least we'll get to the weekend. They worked all the time. The only day they didn't work was Shabbos, which the Levium had set up originally. They told Paro, Jewish people have to have a day of rest. They'll be able to work better for you. But they didn't have vacations. They didn't have all sorts of other distractions. They were just literally working all the time. And that's what we have to understand. That's why it was Yomim Rabim. It's a very true statement. Yom Nimshach Zman Rab. Every day felt like it was a long day. And that's what the Yomim Rabim is talking about. Others explain it in a more direct way. That this is talking about from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu had left. Moshe Rabbeinu saw that there was things going on. Some of the Farshim say he was 20 years old. One Medrash says he was 16 years old. The other Medrash says he was 40 years old when he is accusing one Jew of hitting the other Jew and said, what are you doing over here? And they tattle on him to Paro, and Paro tries to chop off his head. His neck turns to marble, the Medrash says, and he runs away. According to many, he's 20 years old. He comes back. Yomim Rabim is the 60 years later that he comes back later. And there's such a great lesson that you can learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, because the Medrashim say that Moshe Rabbeinu was a king. During that time that he went away, he was the king in some place like Kush, possibly, Ethiopia. He was the king of a great nation. And life was very good for him. And he could have sat in the five towns of his day in absolute comfort. And yeah, I hear the Jewish people having a hard time in Mitzrayim. Doesn't affect me. He's having a great time, a grand old time, where he was. So the message here is, no, it was Yomim Rabim for Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Yomim Rabim that he couldn't get back to his people. He couldn't wait to come back to his people. But there's an even greater message, I think. Aaron HaKohen. Who led the Jewish people all during those years? Amram was the Gadol HaDor. When Amram passed away, Aaron HaKohen took over. It doesn't say exactly when Amram passed away. But the Mefarshim explained that Aaron HaKohen was the leader of the Jewish people for many, many, many years. Probably longer than the 40 years that Moshe Rabbeinu led the Jewish people. And there's such a musa here for us that even though you were the leader, there's a time to hand over the reins to somebody else. Sometimes you aren't the best person, the most qualified person anymore to do something. And that's the message. Aaron HaKohen said, my brother's coming. He turns over the reins to his brother, his younger brother. He said, he's the one who's supposed to lead Klal Yisrael out of here. And that's this tremendous messages over here, this Yomim Rabim, these great days. There's messages over here for us to learn from the Haggadah. Incidentally, so Moshe Rabbeinu goes up and meets Yisro in Midyan. Yisro had run away also. Yisro was one of the three advisors, and he ran away as well. So Yisro is out there. He hears that Moshe Rabbeinu comes there, and he throws Moshe Rabbeinu into a dungeon for 10 years. The Medrash tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu is in a dungeon for 10 years, and Tzipora goes and gives him food every night. And Tzipora saves his life, and that's why he marries Tzipora. And this happens, he marries her when he's already there for many, many years, after he's been away from Mitzrayim for many years, and then he marries her and he has his two sons, Gershon and Eliezer, and then he comes back to Eretz Yisrael. That's why he only had two children, because he wasn't married until he was like 78 years old, because he was in a dungeon. And this is, again, the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. What made Moshe Rabbeinu who he was? All of these stories, all of these impacts on his life helped mold Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't know much about him, but the Midrashim tell us fascinating things about what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, so then the Mepharshim tell us further that Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim, the king of Mitzrayim died, Vayeanchu Bnei Yisrael Min Ha'avodah. And then, after he died, so then they sighed. That's when they had a hard time. So there's a beautiful gematria again from the Per Aaron. I love to give gematrias from the Per Aaron. This is amazing. He did this in the Warsaw Ghetto. He did this without computers, without the ability. He just saw these things, and these are messages. Again, they're not dinim. You can't learn. Even the famous gematria, I always mention that it says those who are doing nazir in the Mishnah Yomis right now. So we learn stam naziris is shloshim yom. From you're learning out from the word yihyeh, I will be. So yud, hey, yud, hey, that adds up to 30. So that's not the din. That's just a nice mnemonic to help you remember it. Even though the Gemara says that's how we learn out its 30 days. But you can't learn any dinim from a gematria. But the gematrias, again, are very beautiful. So listen to this gematria. It's just phenomenal. Somebody could come up with this. Again, Rav Avram Aaron Friedman, Hashem Yimkom Domo. It says, Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim. I always calculate gematrias. So it comes out to 926. Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim. And that is the exact gematria of Mitzora, if you spell it out. You spell out the word Mitzora, Mem, so it's Mem Mem, and Tzadi, it's Tzadik, Vav is Vav Vav, Resh is Reshin, and Ayin is Ayin Yud Nun. It exactly is the gematria of 926. Because we all know the famous story that it says that the king of Mitzrayim didn't really die. Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim, he had Tzoras, very appropriate for these parashiyos that were in Tazria and Mitzora. So he had Tzoras. And if we think that Hamas, Yimach Shemom V'Zichrom, is cruel with what they did with the Bibis babies and what they did with all of the children, I don't even want to talk about it. It's so painful, the rishus, the depravity on October 7th. So in Mitzrayim, they outdid Hamas. They were even more Hamas than Hamas. Because it says, the Medrash tells us that Paro killed 150 Jewish babies every morning and 150 Jewish babies every night to bathe in their blood. He was told by his doctors, not a good HMO plan, I wouldn't suggest Paro's HMO plan. He told him that the bathing, Rachmana Litzlan, in these 150 babies' blood every morning and every night will cure your tzaras. So when it says, Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim, he didn't really die. He had tzaras. And that, when he got tzaras, Vayomos Melech Mitzrayim, he got tzaras, oh, then, that's when Nebuch, it really hit home, how cruel he was. But listen to a Ritva. Listen what the Ritva says. The Ritva explains that we're supposed to be in Mitzrayim for the 400 years. And there was a certain amount of servitude that had to be done. And the Jewish people were so happy now when there were six babies born at every time, that servitude would end sooner. They saw that we had to, just to put it into an easy way to understand it, we had to make 10 million bushels. We had to do something. So the more people we have, the faster we'll get to the end. So they saw all the Jewish babies being born, the six Bekeres Echad, six babies born every time. So the Ritva says, life is good. We'll get out of Mitzrayim faster. And they were happy. The end is near. But then Paro Nebuch was killing 300 babies every day. That made the Golus to them, it's not going to end. It's never going to end. And that's why Ve'yoncho. Oh, they krechts. Oh, now it's really going to be terrible. They were hoping to get out early because there will be more Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to measure. I wanted this many hours of servitude for the Jewish people. But now they thought it would go faster, but Nebuch is killing all the babies. So therefore, the servitude would go end up much longer. They thought even longer than the 400 years. And that's why Ve'yoncho, they cried out. The horrible Sheba of Mitzrayim, we can't even begin to understand how horrible that Sheba was. Other opinions are that it says they only Vayeonchu after this Paro died. Assuming the interpretation is literal, that he actually died. So why did they only cry out now? You would have thought they cried while he was there. So the Ritva also brings down another interesting idea. And the Ritva says, because the original Paro didn't, as horrible as he was, he didn't make him worship Avodah Zarah. And the proof of that, the Ritva says, "Vayokum el chadosh haMitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef." He didn't know Yosef. As a courtesy to Yosef, some little bit of recognition that Yosef saved the whole country, so he said, "Okay, I'm going to subjugate them, but I won't make them worship Avodah Zarah." After he dies, and a new power comes along, the new power lo yadas Yosef. Oh, I'm going to force them to do Avodah Zarah. I'm going to force them to assimilate. I'm going to force them to do all sorts of immoral things. Shtufei Zima, Mitzrayim was a place of immorality. Makes Las Vegas on a bad day look good. It's a place of immorality. So now they're going to have to be like them. Oh, Vayeonchu. Now they saw it. The worst thing for a Jewish person is to be immoral. And Paro was forcing them, trying to force them to be immoral. Oh, now they had troubles. Now Vayeonchu. Another interesting idea is brought down by the Maral. The Maral says that when a person is working so hard, he doesn't even have time to krechts. He doesn't even have time to realize how difficult his life is. And psychologically, people sometimes, they're working so hard, they don't even realize how lousy they have it. People work so hard, so hard, and all of a sudden, 120 years old, and what did you accomplish? What did you do? You're just working. And that's why they didn't cry while they were working so hard with Paro. But then Paro died, and they had a day off. Paro died until the new king could come in and make new decrees. And all of a sudden, they realized how horrible it was. You don't sometimes realize, you get so involved in your life, so involved in work, you get so involved in doing routine, mundane things, and you think that's important. But when you stop for a second and realize, what is going on? I'm not doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. I'm working for Paro. I got through the day, thank God. That's not what your day is supposed to be like. How many of us, we go through a day, and we say, thank God, I took care of this. We have a checkoff. I did 18 things from this. I did 18 things from that. And now I go to sleep. What did you accomplish? Did you learn a blot Gemara? Did you have time to be nice to your family? Did you do a chesed? They were so busy and involved. Only when they finally had a chance to breathe for 1 second, one day, they realized what a waste of time they were having. They had. What a difficult shibud this was. And now, after he died, and they had one day off, so then Vayeonchu. Then they realized what their lives were missing. Let's look at it a little bit differently. The Mitzrayim were so rotten that they didn't let them cry out. They worked them so hard, they wouldn't have a chance to cry. Why is that? Because the Mitzrayim knew that if the Jewish people cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer them. We have to know that. The Mitzrayim knew that. And they didn't want us to cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now why could they finally cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because the king died. And when the king died, everybody cried. They made hespedim, and they had public eulogies, and everybody was, the king died. So they could also cry now for the first time. And now they cried out to Hashem. The Mitzrayim thought, they're crying because Paro died, so that's acceptable. But they're really crying to Hashem for the first time. And therefore, that's what got them out. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. Okay. Then he brings down another interesting idea. This is a phenomenal, common what we're going through right now from the Maral. And he brings down She'ikor ha'anocha, the reason why they really cried al shenichziva takvasam shahayso b'shar shemei sarisham. Because they thought that the new king would be better. Ah, the old king died. Now we'll be free. Now life will be good. We got the new king. A Democrat came in. That will solve all of our problems. And they cried now when they saw that that's not going to solve all of their problems. Is Bibi going to be the new prime minister? Is this guy going to be the new prime minister? Is that guy going to be the new prime minister? Oh, that will change everything. And then when they realized that that really isn't what makes a difference, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now they finally got it. And when they realized their false messiahs, all their false hopes, instead of turning to Hashem, they turned to everybody else to save them. This politician, that politician, this, that. They finally realized the falseness of their false messiahs. Ah, now, Vayeyonchu, now they finally cried out to Hashem, and Hashem answered their tefillos. The next, it says, again, Vayishma Elokim Esnakosam. God heard their crying out. No, we already said that God heard their crying out. There's a lot of repetition here. What's going on? Why so many times is it repeated? So many of the Mefarshim should bring down that this is specifically here to teach us not just by Yishma Elokim Esnakosam, but it's also to teach us why Hashem listened to their Nakosam. And it says, because the next line tells us, Vayiskor Elokim Esbriso, Es Abram, Es Yitzhak, Es Yaakov. The reason wasn't because they deserved to get out. Ah, Hashem heard their suffering and said, okay, you finally davened to me, I'll let you out. No. It's because of the bris of the avos. According to this understanding, we didn't deserve to get out. The Mitzrayim had a right to give us a patch. The Mitzrayim had a right to subjugate us. We weren't good people. The only reason we got out is zchus avos. That's the first understanding, that it was zchus avos. I'll change that in a second to bris avos. The first understanding was in the zechus of the avos. And I think that's just very appropriate when I say this year. The only reason I'm saying this year is because of my parents. Is zechus avos. That's what allows us to accomplish anything. And in fact, some of the poskim say, no, we did deserve to come out. We actually were pretty moral in Mitzrayim. We actually kept our names. We kept our sprach. We spoke Hebrew. We didn't assimilate. And we deserved to come out. But why did Hashem take us out? Vayiskor es Avram es Yitzchak v'Yaakov. We attributed it to our parents. Look around the room. I see many people. I know your parents. I know you are who you are because of your parents. I know how wonderful your parents were. When we attribute something to our parents, even if we actually deserved it on our own, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's the way of the world. That's the way it should be. The Gemara tells us that if somebody, you're asking somebody to do you a favor, and he would do you the favor because of who you are. But you say, please do me the favor because of my father, because of my mother, that's the right way to do it. To give the cover to your mother, your father. Yeah, he would have done the favor for you. But you should ask, do it in honor of my mother or my father. That's the right way. So that's what this what the Baal HaGaon is telling us over here. Yeah, they actually deserve to come out on their own. But they said, do it to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vayiskor Elokim Es Bris Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. And they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take us out because of Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Hashem said, okay, now I'll take you out because of you. But you mentioned for Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov, so therefore I'll take you out because of you. In fact, the Gemara says, if you ask sometimes, do this favor for me, a person might not do the favor. But sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it just because of the honor of your parents. It's a very interesting and appropriate understanding. Some of the poskim, however, say, no, we didn't have zuchus avos anymore. You only have zuchus avos if you act like your parents. So somebody has wonderful parents, but he doesn't act so wonderful, so he actually loses out on all the benefits of having such wonderful parents. You lose out on the zuchus avos if you're a scoundrel, if you're a rotten egg. But bris avos, that never loses out. And here the zuchus avos had run out. They didn't deserve it. It just had run out. How many times can you rely upon Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov to get us out of trouble? But the bris avos, that's the avtacha, the bris bein absarim, that bris, that's never going to be disrupted. Even though zechus avos may be disrupted, Bris Avos will never be disrupted. The Per Aaron gives another interesting idea. He says, notice the different usage of the words. Vayishma Hashem es koleinu, vayishma Elokim es nakosam. What's this? Is it Hashem or Elokim? Hashem is the God of mercy. Elokim is the God of justice. And this is what we say every day in Shema Yisrael. This is one of the major understandings of Shema Yisrael. We say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. They're the same. There's not a God of good, a God of bad. We don't believe in these dualities that other religions believe in. Hashem Echad. The same Hashem was the God of mercy. It's the same Hashem was the God of justice. Yes, the different attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why it tells us this in the same words. Vayishma Elokim. Even though we before had the Lashon of Vayishma Hashem. So to teach us, it's one and the same. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to us as a very merciful God. Right? Golus America has been a very beautiful Golus. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu wakes us up and he tells us, no, it's not such a beautiful Golus. There's a tremendous amount of anti-Semitism. There was always underneath the surface. Now it's well above the surface. And that's what we have to understand. And that's what we have to learn from the Haggadah. The Mitzrayim, it tells us, Matzilenu Miyadam, right? So there's an interesting interpretation. Miyadam tells us that it was sometimes from the difficulties, Hashem saved us from the difficulties that we had, and sometimes he had to save us from the goodness that we had. America has more assimilation than Poland ever had. We wanted to ever be like the Polish Goyim that were around us. All they did was murder us and kill us. You know, it was, oh, I'd like to be like Mike. No, he didn't say that. But in America, ooh, you know, they have a nice lifestyle. They have this. You can be killed with evil. Or you can be killed with kindness. So that's Matzilenu Miyadam. Sometimes they come at us with kindness, and sometimes they come at us with evil. You have to be wary of both. We certainly love to live in the one where the kindness is the problem, but that kindness is a much more difficult thing. The Gemara tells us in many places that it's much more difficult sometimes to have those types of tests and trials, the, what we would call the good ones, to be rich, to have the goyim like us. So those tests are actually much more difficult when the goyim hate us and we're impoverished. Because then we're usually not assimilating. They sometimes never kill us, but we never assimilate. And that's the bottom line. In the better types of situations, we sometimes succumb. And that, in fact, is one of the reasons why Hashem took us out. One of the explanations over here, what did Hashem see? Vayaris on Yenu. You know what Hashem saw? He saw that we were succumbing. He saw that we couldn't stand the pressure. And we were starting to give up bris milah. We were starting to do immoralities. We were starting to do kishuf. We were starting to do all sorts of bad things. And Hashem said, I better take him out. That's his vayar. Hashem saw. So one explanation is he saw that we were starting to fall off the edge. Interesting idea. Then it tells us, vayar es onyenu. It said the word onyenu. This is a reference to precious derech eretz. This is a reference to husband and wives being together. Shalom bayis, both the physical as well as the emotional being together of a husband and wife. And the Haggadah is telling us how important this is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that there was, unfortunately, a lack of shalom bayis, not because of anything between the husband and the wives, because the Mitzrayim wanted to create a lack of shalom bayis in the house. They tried to physically separate us. They tried to make us miserable when we were together. And that is onyenu. That is this precious derech eretz. So how do we know that that's what it means? So the Abarbanel says something simple. He says, because we already spoke about everything else. This is the only thing that's left. But there's a deeper understanding. So Rashi and other Mepharshim should bring down, this is such an important idea. He says, the worst type of inui that you can have is a lack of shalom bayis. The biggest affliction that a person can have is dreading to come home. In a hard day at the office, and she comes home to the husband who's been at home. Well, other way around. And you dread to come home to that person. That's the worst affliction that you could have. Vayaris onyenu. Not that they didn't love each other. Not that they did. But the Mitzrayim didn't allow them to be together. The Mitzrayim kept the men out in the field. They said, if you go home, you know what's going to happen. You're going to sleep late. You're going to come in late to work. Sleep out here in the field. They made us stay out there. They separated the men and the women. They separated husband and wife, which is a terrible thing to do. So halachas that are brought down in that. If you have guests at your house, so you shouldn't separate. Sometimes you know, people say, oh, let's put all the men in this room, all the women in that room, because we just don't have enough beds for everybody, enough private rooms. The Gemara says that that's wrong. You're not allowed to do that. You should never separate a husband and a wife. It's a terrible thing. My Rebbeim always tell me when husband and wife take separate vacations. Terrible, terrible thing. Sometimes a husband has to go away on a business trip. Sometimes a wife has to be away, visit her, take care of her elderly parents. Yeah, sometimes they have to be separate. That should never be a lechatchila. That should always only be a bidyeved, only after the fact. And that God is telling us how important Shalom Bayis is. And in fact, we just had in the Gemara in Bava Metzia that talks about machlokis, can you or can you not have a marriage that doesn't have sher ksus viona? Sher ksus viona are the husband's responsibility to go and feed his wife, to clothe his wife, and to be with his wife. So everybody agrees that the last one, the idea of being with your wife, you can't have a marriage without that. You can have a marriage, okay, so we're financially separate. We'll keep separate bank accounts. Okay, the woman makes more than the husband. She says, I don't want you to support me. I'll support myself. I do better off myself. I'm allowed to refuse that. But the intimacy of a couple, so that, you're not allowed to go and do that. That's what the Mitzrayim did. They wanted to cause discord in families by separating them. And that's a halacha you're not supposed to do. Very important. Again, in modern life, we sometimes do things that almost go directly against that. The separate vacations, the separate, doing things separately, it's not the Torah way. Not the values that we look forward to. Okay. Then he says further that the Ritva again brings down some very interesting ideas. He says, even when they were together, the Shibud made them not be able to be comfortable. It made them not enjoy being a husband and a wife. And therefore, that's what the Mitzrayim did to us. They destroyed family life. And that's something, if that's the Inui, if that's terrible, so then we have to understand how important it is to maintain that and have healthy family relationships. Then it tells us that the women were the ones, the Noshim Tzidkonios Nigalu Vasidim Ligal. The women are the ones that got us out of Mitzrayim. The women are the ones that are going to bring Mashiach, Tzidkenu, B'mher V'yameinu. Because the women didn't give up hope. The men gave up hope. We all know the famous story of the Maros Hatzovos. We just had this a few weeks ago, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, yeah, the women want to bring you their mirrors, their pocket mirrors, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu, don't think that's such a good idea because those mirrors were used to beautify the women and so that the husbands would want to be with them. He says, what are you talking about, Moshe Rabbeinu? That's the whole idea of life. I've mentioned this many times. Shachter Shlita said over the name of the Rav Zatzal, that's the biggest difference between us and the Goyim. That they think that being spiritual means to remove yourself away from this world. I've said this many times, such a beautiful insight. Whereas we say, being spiritual means taking the mundane and making it spiritual. You take a glass of wine, you make a bracha on it, you elevate it. It's kiddushin, it's nisuin. Take a glass of wine, you drink, you become a shikr. So, what do you do with the mundane? What do you do with the routine daily life? So they believe in celibacy. They believe, I can't have any kedusha coming out of that. And we say, pum faket, it's the exact opposite. That's the highest level of achievement when you have a wonderful marital relationship between a husband and a wife. So that's the Noshim Tzidkonios. I saw this year a beautiful vart that I just have to say over, because Rashi brings down something that doesn't make any sense on the surface, and I never understood it, and I just shrugged it off. And I saw a beautiful vart that was sent over by Rabbi Katz, Zatzal. He passed away during COVID. So he wrote the Lev Aryeh. And Rashi says that the women would go to their husbands, and they say, look in the mirror and say, I'm more beautiful than you. What does that mean? So that would entice the men? How does that work? What does that mean? So the Lev Aryeh says such a beautiful idea. And this is, again, the success between a husband and wife, the success to a successful marriage. And the women, the Lev Aryeh said to their husbands, I am more beautiful not than you, I'm more beautiful because of you. You make me more beautiful. What a beautiful idea. Makes a Rashi that's almost incomprehensible into a Rashi that's Berumo Shalom. The women weren't saying, I'm more beautiful than you. They were saying, I'm more beautiful because of you. If a husband treats a wife properly, if a wife treats a husband properly, so then each one becomes a better person. And that's what the Maros Hatzovos represent. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong. Hashem says, you're wrong, Moshe Rabbeinu. That is the epitome of what I want to have in the Mishkan. And that's what the women did. Tachas HaTapuach HaRaticha. That's exactly the women. They didn't get depressed. The women didn't give up hope. The women continued, and they were the ones that got us out of Mitzrayim. So that's the Precious Derech Eretz. Now, the Mitzriim said as well over here that how do we know that this is talking about Derech Eretz? It was talking about husband and wife being together. So it's because it says Vayeda Elokim. And we know the biblical idea of Yediyah is talking about husbands and wives being together. So Vayeda Elokim, that's how the Poskim say, that's what it means. Vayeda Elokim, it's talking about this Yediyah, this biblical knowing, that that's what it's referring to. The Yaivitz brings down a very interesting idea, and he says that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do this. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew of the suffering that was going on between husband and wife, but even more so, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could understand how many babies were not being brought into the world because of the Mitzriim. And that is the way Mashiach comes. The Gemara tells us Mashiach will come when all of the unborn souls that have to be born have been born. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Mitzriim were preventing these souls from being created. Oh, that's why Vayares on Yenu. Hashem saw what the Mitzriim were doing to us and how that was delaying the coming of the Geula. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take matters into his own hands. So the Per Aaron has one more gematria. We'll almost end with this. And he says a beautiful idea. It says, Vayar Elokim es b'nei Yisrael vayeda Elokim. So he says the last letter of the words b'nei Yisrael vayeda Elokim spells out Eov. Eov was one of the advisors who caused part of the problem in Mitzrayim. You know, Bilam HaRosh said, throw the babies into the Yamsuf. Throw the babies into the river. Eov said nothing. You know, Eov was silent. Yisro ran away. He said, I'm not gonna be around and advising this horrible government. So Bilam was killed, ultimately killed. Eov was punished with the Yisurim, Job, all the Yisurim that he had. So that's over here. B'nai Yisrael were being suffering. Vayed Elokim. Elokim saw. HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw. Eov didn't speak up. When we see injustice and we don't speak up, when we see what the world persecutes Jewish people, that the world has this ridiculous idea of what morality is and what humanitarianism is, nobody speaks up about what happened on October 7th. Well, we get punched in the face and then we fight back. Oh, we're the problem. So that's what this is. Eov was that exact person. He didn't speak up. Eov let it slide. Eov didn't vote against the resolutions. Eov abstained. So that's a terrible thing. Eov was punished. It's an interesting gematria brings down as well. That was the Sofei Tevos. That was the last letter. If you look at the second to last letter of all those words, that spells Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And that's just teaching us a message, and with this I'll conclude. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ino imo anochi b'tzara. We're suffering in Mitzrayim. We weren't there alone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there with us. I always say this. When my father lived through Kristallnacht, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there in Germany. When my mom lived through Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Be'eri on October 7th. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in Yerushalayim last night. Imo Anochi Bitzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was always with us. And that's the consolation. That's what we have to always remember. We're never alone. We have to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our Savior and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to realize that we're never, ever, ever left alone. Baruch Shomer Haftachoso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us He's going to bring us out. Benisin Nigalu, in the month of Nisan, we were redeemed. And Benisan Asidin Lihigoyal. Be'ezus Hashem, it should be this Nisan. You shouldn't have to wait till next Nisan. I wish you all a Chag Kosher Sameach. Thank you very, very much for joining us tonight. And there's a collation in the back. Please make a bracha. Le'ilu Nishmas Yosef Nisan Ben Yecheskel. Thank you all for coming.